How's your Happy New Year so far? Are you guys practicing how to make you happy and happier each day? If you are, please raise your hand. Okay. Keep practicing on it. By sitting in the chair, rolling your thumb, make me happy. That attitude will not make you happy and we're happier. Being happy or getting happier is a practice. You and I needed to intentionally practice how to make ourselves happy. Not by changing other people. Changing whatever I am, whoever I am. That is the beginning of the happiness. And while I'm pondering this happiness and delightfulness, and today's passage is talk about the delightfulness. And I was pondering, what makes me happy? And whenever I'm down, what makes me happy physically, mentally, and spiritually? And while I was pondering this question, I saw chocolate on my desk. So I decided to test it out. I just peeled up and put it in my mouth. Wow! I was happy. So while I was preparing this message, and I was kind of exploring, chocolate makes me happy. How about other people? And then I just wondering about it. And then while I was doing the research, I found it one interesting test, chocolate test. And if you are buying a candy and chocolate, I'm going to give you a list of the chocolate and candy and pick one, which one you're going to buy. You can just buy one, not just two or three, just one. So I'm just going to list it out a little list of the chocolate and candy and pick one. This is called chocolate candy test. And it will tell us who we are. And there is no firm, definitely, yes, we are. But it's just for fun, to restore the joy and delightfulness in our spirit, in our presence. Let's try it. So I'm going to give you the list of the candy and chocolate. Just pick one. Baby Ruth. Three Musketeers. Butterfingers. Snickers. Hershey's. Almond Joy. Clark Bar. Good and Plenty. Energy Bar. Chocolate Coated Raisins. Did you pick one? Here is a result of your test. How many of you pick Baby Ruth? Okay, one, two, three. Spot them, and then the description of these people according to this test. Sweet, loving, cuddly. You love all warm, fuzzy items, and a little nutty. Sometimes you need an ice cream cone at the end of the day. Is that right? I'm not so sure you needed to make a choice on that. And Three Musketeers. One, two, three, four. Three Musketeers we have. You guys are, according to the description, you guys are the adventurous, love new ideas, and a champion of underdogs and a slayer of dragons. When tempers flare up, you wipe out your snares. The minute you are there, whenever the new things that happen, believe it or not, this is a description. Snickers. Wow, we have many Snickers in here. You are fun, loving, sassy, humorous, and everyone enjoys being around you, but you are practical joker. And others should be cautious in shaking these people's hands. Whatever means, miss. So we have many Snickers here, and watch out when you shake their hands. How about Hershey's? One, two, three. Three Hershey's. You guys are the romantic, warm, loving. You care about other people and can be counted on in a pinch. You tend to melt. Almond Joy. One, two, three, four, five, six. six people in here. And you are, according to the description, you are sexy. Always ready to give and receive. And very energetic. And really like to get into life. You love to hang around with the opposite sex. So watch out. Clark Bar. I do not know what this is, to be honest. But it was listed.
Honey, you have to be old to know what a Clark Bar is.
All right. I'm not old enough to know this one. We do not have a Clark Bar, so I'm just going to skip it then. And the next one is a good and plenty. Wow, you are the representation of the good and plenty, Debbie. You are a very, very fun, loving person who likes to laugh. You are fun to be with. People like to hang out with you. You are a very warm-hearted person. Aww. How about energy bar? No energy bar. No energy bars here. Well, let me just skip it then. Did I skip Butterfinger? Okay, sorry. Butterfinger, raise your hand. Wow, we have a bunch. No wonder. Okay, Butterfinger, you guys are smooth, articulated. You are an excellent after-dinner speaker and a good teacher. But don't try to walk and chew gum at the same time. Last but not the least, chocolate-coated raisins. One, two, three. Your daughter is the same way. Oh, my goodness.
You don't want to vote for chocolate-covered raisins. Wait till you hear it. I chose that last service. No more.
Yeah, she was the only one, but her daughter, Tiffany, is the same one. Chocolate-coated raisin. You go to the bathroom often. Whatever truth, you take it. It is a joy to have some conversation and big laugh in the church in our midst. The scripture lesson from the book of Isaiah chapter 62 verse 1 through 5, prophet Isaiah tried to restore this amazing delightfulness God wants us to have through the poem he wrote. The genre of this writing, the reading we just had, is a poetic form. Sometimes when we read the poetic form of the writing, we are having a hard time to understand. For that, I would like to have you and I to read it together one by one so we will have some understanding of the concept of delightfulness prophet Isaiah wants the Israelites to have. Before we read it all of that, let me give you some background of it. The book of Isaiah has three basic divisions. Book of Isaiah chapter 1 through 39 is the first book of Isaiah. And the second book of Isaiah is called chapter 40 through 55. And the 56 through 66 of the book of Isaiah is called the third book of Isaiah. Today's reading is falling into the third portion and the ending portion of the book of Isaiah to restore the joy and delightfulness of the community of Israelites. And today's scripture is at the end of the book of Isaiah, and the people had been exiled for many long years after being in captive in Babylon for 70 years. And their temples and captive city has been destroyed. When they were exiled from Babylon, from the captivity, they were so excited about going back home. And they had a dream. My homeland was full of honey and full of delightful resource. Abundance was there. So while they were in the captivity in Babylon, they were dreaming to go back to the land of honey full of abundance. So after 70 years of the captivity, they were released and exiling one by one. When they were landed in their homeland, everything got destroyed. No more honey, no more abundance, no more farm, no more house. But when they landed at their homeland, only things they saw is despair. Prophet Isaiah was there and encouraging people to work on rebuilding their culture, rebuild their home, so they can continuously seeking and pursuing the presence of God joyfully. At the beginning, they got pumped up and they start to work on digging the ground and build the house and the temple. Then they tried to restore and recreated the culture and a family tradition there. With the abundance they are seeking, later on it will be happening. But as times go by, the progress was so minimal. Their excitement at the beginning of going back to their homeland and starting the renovation of the community was gone, diminished one by one, because there was no end. They couldn't see the end of their renovation project. And the progress was so minimal. Israelites was very discouraged. This is the context. Have you ever been in that situation where you felt that life had beaten you down regardless how hard you are working to vindicate, restore, and save your life from falling apart? The Lord God is telling us the message through the mouth of Isaiah today. The person like you and me. Let us read the first one together and then let's hear the message, what we need to hear while we are struggling with our difficult life. First one, let us read it together. Ready? Go. The first attitude of the prophet Isaiah for this discouraged situation against the dream they had, he was protesting. In here, do you hear the attitude of the book, the prophet Isaiah? For the sake of Zion, for the sake of Jerusalem, I will not silent. I will not remain quiet in here till her righteousness shine out like a dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. Until I see the hope, the fulfillment of the promise, I'm not going to silent about it. He decided to protest on behalf of the Israelites and telling people and bring their anguished heart and discouragement in the setting, verbalize it and name that. Instead of brush it off, he named the white elephant in the house. By naming it, people got on board together. Yes, we are in a discouragement. We should not be silent about this whole situation. We needed to talk to God until God's promise to be fulfilled through our lives. And then after that, verse 2, let's read it, verse 2 and 3. Ready? Go.
The nations will see your righteousness,
and all your glory. You will be called by your name, and the mouth of the Lord will serve. You will be a crown of splendor in the Lord's hand. A royal crown in the hand of your heart. This portion, prophet Isaiah is switching the people's full attention he got from the verse 1 into the hope, leading into the hope. Because of the promise of God, at the time of the fulfillment of the promise, the whole nation will see your righteousness and all kings with your glory. You will be called by new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. New name, you're going to hear that in verse 4 later on. They are not no longer called the old name. in an Israelite community, getting a new name means a new hope, reaffirmation of the hope in their situation, new vision of God. God is telling Isaiah to tell the Israelites that you guys are getting a new hope. Through the promise, you are exiled, you are landed in the homeland as you desire according to the will of God. Don't be discouraged. And the fulfillment of the Christ is coming. Fulfillment of the promise is coming. When that happens, your name will be revealed. Your name, your glory will be revealed. The new name will be in verse 4. Let's read it in verse 4. Verse 4. Ready? Go. Here, your old name is deserted. Your old, the old name for your land is desolated. But you will be called Hezbah, which means my delight, God's delight. Your new name is delight. God's delight is your new name. And your land, Buhar, which means that God is marrying you to restore this amazing image of the joy in marriage. For the Lord will take delight in you, and your land will be married to God. Here, delight in you. Sometimes we say that I am not a delightful person. Sometimes we say that I am not good person, good enough person to bring the joy to my family, bring the joy to my spouse, bring the joy to the church or the organization. But that is a lie. You no longer carry those names. Your name, my new name is Hezbah, which means it's a God's delight. Our new name is God's delight. God is a delight in us. Regardless of how we feel about our life situation. God said, our name is God's delight. Let us say this name together. Our new name is God's delight. And turn to your neighbor, say, my name is God's delight. And then tell your neighbor, saying, God is delighting in you. And then it is, I intentionally use ing form because it is continuously acting right now. God is delighting in you. God loves to see you. And especially in this passage, we see the marriage imagery in here. While I was reading this passage, I thought of my wedding day. Probably you can think of your wedding day too. You are the most handsome man in the world. You are the most beautiful woman in the world. Everybody is praising you. You are so pretty. You are beautiful. You are so handsome. Everybody congregated together to bless your marriage, the new journey you are starting. My wedding was not exceptional too, but there was a little bit of an exceptional case in my wedding journey because my mom was not well. My mom was in hospice care for 3 years. When she learned that she's going to be in the hospice care, my brother graciously decided to videotape the last word she's going to give to me. Because we did not know exactly how long she's going to be with us. Back then, she was given 1 week. And so he videotaped it. The message, the last word my mom gave me through the video was, I'm sorry, Sonny. I won't be able to be at your wedding. When I go to heaven, meet my Lord, I will make sure that I will ask Jesus to send you Mr. Wright. She knew exactly how surviving skill I have. What kind of surviving skill I have. I never lived by myself. Somewhat spoiled, and I do not know how to make the food out of the kitchen lavatory, to be honest. My mom did it all of it. Yet I confess that I was a spoiled little rat in the house. And she was concerned. Also, my mom and I lived together only in the house, a little bit of a big house. My mom was my boyfriend. My mom was my sister, my buddy, my companion. And but during that time, I was working on my second PhD, so I had no interest in getting into any relationship with anyone. Only focus was I just wanted to be with my mom and finish my school. That was the only agenda I had in my life. But soon I learned that she was so desiring me to get married. I decided to explore. During the third year of in hospice care for my mom, and at the beginning of the year, she told me that if you want me to be at your wedding, this is the year I would like to have you married. And then I told her, how long are you going to be last? She said, probably till this summer. And so I asked her, if I get married in the summer, this year, summertime, sometimes, are you going to be able to be at my wedding? She said, I will. You better to keep the promise. Based on your promise, I will look for the possibility to get the wedding day and get married during summertime sometime. This conversation happened in January. So I open up the books and when am I going to be available to get married? Only day it is. And only day available during that summertime to get married was July 28th. So I asked my mom, are you going to be last till that time? July 18th is the only time I am available to get married. And she said, I will. And back then, I was not in deep conversation of getting married to anyone, but I have a guy friend here and there, and also some was there too, and he was top list for that. And a casual talk we had was, after I finished my study, and we're going to be married, but probably it's not going to be this year or next year because I needed to work on it. He agreed. But soon after, I finished my conversation with my mom and picked the wedding date according to my availability in my calendar. And I phoned Song right there. Call Song. And Song answered, Song, are you available this summertime sometimes to get married, to marry me? He said, huh? The day I have right now is July 18th. Are you available? And there was dead silence. All right, I told him that you do not get any pressure out of this. If you are not able to answer, that's fine. I will move on to the next available person for this. And he said, I'm available. So that was the beginning of our marriage journey. And that was January, and July 18th I got married. And at the wedding, my mom was there in wheelchair. She was having a great pain, I know for sure. And she was having an amazing pain, and yet at my wedding, she was able to sit through whole wedding ceremony, 1 hour. My wedding was a worship, 1 hour of worship with 800 people. You know, we have so many people involved. It was a celebration to dedicate our new journey to God at the presence of many beloved people, especially my mom. When I consistently, I was to look at my mom's face, make sure that she would be okay throughout the wedding. I was not able to see any pain in her face, even though I knew that she was in pain. She was so delightful. And I never see her happy that much in my life. 10 days later, after my wedding day, she passed. She kept the promise. When I read this passage, think of the delightfulness of God in the heart, in the lives of Israelites. I saw this delightful face of my mom in the face of God in this passage. God is a delight in you. God is so joyful to see you. Your name, my name, regardless of the hardship we are going through, God is so happy to be with you because your being itself is joyful to God. We do not need to be a rich people. We do not need to have a big home, a new car, fancy car. We do not need to have it. But just be with the Lord. Prophet Isaiah is reminding the Israelites when they are in discouragement, telling to restore and remind the promise God given to them through the new name, God's delight. Tomorrow is Martin Luther King Jr. Day, a day in which North Americans commemorate the fight against the racial discrimination in federal and state law. Those who experience discrimination will tell you the battle is not over yet. According to Sunnis Dictionary, discrimination is the way we say wrong on the things we see difference. Simple way of saying this. When we see the differences around us, we say, that's wrong. I need to make that wrong right according to my way, my principle. Differences are different. Everybody is different. We do know that differences are reality. Even among your family, husband and wife, you see the different worldview. You need to negotiate consistently with your children, with your parents, consistently. You need to dialogue and negotiate together, bring the whole family together. Differences is not wrong. It's simply different. Book of Isaiah is telling us that bring the best out of the differences and be joyful, be delightful. Even though the situation, circumstance does not allow us to be joyful according to our standard, still we have a reason to be joyful and delightful because our being is delightful. Our new name is God's delight. We do not need to be forced by the environment to change who we are. Our being, who we are, can change the surrounding environment. Common popular movie we know of is Wizard of Oz. The main character of this Wizard of Oz is Dorothy. She was looking for happiness in all of the places. But at the end, she said, happiness was all along, in my own backyard. In your backyard, in your own backyard, there is happiness. In your own heart, there is joyfulness, happiness, and delightfulness. We are pursuing happiness in Christ this year especially by saying Happy New Year from the beginning. This happiness you do not need to look for in Chicago downtown or LA, California. This happiness exists within you already because your name, my name, is God's delight. If you wanted to be happy, joyful, don't wait for tomorrow. Today is a day you can claim your new name, God's delight, and put your willpower to live up to the name, the new name God given to us. Through the delightfulness, we can vindicate restore and save our lives and life of others in Christ Jesus, like Christ Jesus did for us. He was friendly to the, not just to the rich people and perfect people. He was friendly to everyone, poor, prostitute, and a tax collector, and all other peoples. Because he saw God's delight in these people. And he said, I am delight in you. I am encouraging today to hear the message of Isaiah. Our name is God's delight. Let us live up to this name. Amen.